It's Your Health Radio, a special podcast series presented by Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we are learning how to be fit for life, how to build and keep muscle after 40. Joining me today is Ken Lang. He's a lifestyle specialist, and Russell Gage. He's the fitness director at Henry Mayo Fitness and Health. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to have a little fun today talking about strength training and muscle building. And so, Russell, I'd like to start with you. And you and I have been together before talking about exercise and the importance. Can you tell us a little bit about the changes that happen as we age in our strength, in our mobility, in our balance, and in our muscle mass, and specifically after the age of about 40?
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff can change as we age, and just like all the points that you just laid out, how you train, what you do, and how your body reacts in kind of every decade or so definitely has to adapt. I think you can keep doing the things you love to do, especially if you've been a lifelong exerciser. There's a lot of research behind the difference between exercising for life or starting exercising later in life and what your body can kind of do in relation to that. So when we have clients and stuff come in, how we address them really does depend on that exercise history and health history. But there's definitely a plateau of sort that kind of starts to happen around age 40 and varies from person to person on kind of muscle gain and what you can do, and more along the lines of kind of neuromuscular function that happens. But the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is to start now. And so if you're getting to that 40 age, you're already above it, starting where you're at is always going to help make a huge difference.
Well, it really is important. And as we start to age, and now our risk of osteoporosis and bone fractures and all of these things, postural problems and balance all start to kick in, you're right. That is really the time, and no time like the present. So Ken, why? Why is maintaining this muscle mass so important? And more importantly, overlooked part of healthy aging.
Yeah. So like the cardiovascular health tends to get a lot of the attention. It is. It's really important. But maintaining that strength over time determines how you're going to be able to interact with your environment. A lot of my clients are, you know, not just over 40, but they're over 60, over 70, right? And this kind of stuff we work on is, can you get to the ground and get back up? So if you want to play with your grandkids, getting down is the easy part. You have the strength to actually get back up from the ground. If you want to go out, if I want to go see a concert, can I navigate the stairs that get me to my seat without having to ask for help, without risking a fall? So that's what strength does. I mean, it does a lot of things, but how you function in the world, how you interact with your environment. And then the next step of that is once you know you don't have muscle mass, you start shutting things out. So your life gets smaller and smaller and smaller because you don't want to take that risk. You don't want to put yourself in a place where you might fall or you might need help. So maintaining that strength is maintaining your ability to function and live the life you want to live.
Okay, now a big question for you, Russell, because, you know, women, we've had this thought in our heads, and many women still have this myth. Can we build muscle over 40? And if we do, oh my goodness, we're going to look like one of these German weightlifters, but it's something we can do. So I'd like you to speak a little bit, Russell, about women and building that muscle, because you probably work with so many of us helping us to do that.
Yeah. And I think it touches on kind of what Ken was saying is what you can still do, and doing the strength training to be able to still maintain. I kind of talk about muscles like the glue that holds your body together. And so a lot of women won't want to strength train because it's this either a fear of getting too bulky or whatever it is. And I point to like the high school guys that will train and be like, these guys look like sticks and they're trying to get bulky. Like you really, really got to do a certain diet, a certain supplement intake, certain who knows what, and a lifting program that's going to get you really bulky. And if you're not really, really chasing that, the importance of strength training is to maintain that glue, to maintain that muscle, and to build that. And that's going to be able to give you the ability to do several things. I had a client one time, and we were doing weighted carries at like 10 pounds in each hand. And she was like, this is just too much. And then I asked her, how heavy is her purse? And her purse was probably 30 to 50 pounds, just from what I knew that she brought in or her workout bag that she brought in. I'm like, you're doing these weighted carries with a lot more every day. And this shoulder or neck pain and back pain is really important to make sure that you're strong enough to kind of resist that and balance the body out. And so I think strength training for women is probably the biggest focus we will have, especially 40 and above, because it's one of the biggest things that is either uncomfortable or has a lot of like taboo around sometimes, or that it's like, I don't want to get too big. I don't want to gain weight. There's a lot of weight management aspect to it where, yes, muscle is denser and heavier, but lean muscle is really what we're going for. And to get that big, bulky, heavy muscle is very, very hard to do, even if you're intentionally going for it.
It's true. I can attest to it. It is not easy. You don't get to look like those women by just lifting 5 and 10 pound dumbbells, really even 15. I mean, as you say, Russell, it is diet and you have to practically starve yourself and the protein. I mean, it is harsh and brutal to try and look like that. So we're not going to look like that very easily. I can say that from experience. Now, Ken, before we get into some exercises and things that we actually can do, let's talk a little bit about lifestyle habits. And as Russell was saying, you know, maybe this woman was carrying such a heavy purse anyway that maybe she was getting some pain and around and up here. But lifestyle habits that we do that maybe we didn't think about when we were young that can deplete our muscle mass, deplete our bone mineral density. We think about nutrition, sleep as we get older becomes way more elusive, stress management, which we're all dealing with right now. How do those things and our healthy lifestyles support that muscle management and maintenance as we get older? Because I think it all ties together, right? It's really important.
Yeah, it really does. And you touched on a lot of things there. The most important thing for most people is it's being sedentary is what leads to that loss of muscle mass. All right, so if we're sitting a lot, whether it be commuting in cars, sitting home in the computer, in front of the TV, whatever, if you're sedentary, your muscle mass is going to be going down over time. And so that's the biggest thing. Like, before we talk about any specifics, do something, anything. The more you move, the more you preserve your muscle mass. And then kind of to go off what you and Russell were just saying, working with women in particular, but also men who have injuries or who've had issues lifting in the past, getting them to lift heavy enough to put on muscle mass is sometimes we got to sit down and have a conversation. Like, hey, we want you to get strong, which means we have to push you to your limit a little bit. Not to get past it, not increase your risk of injury, but we have to take you to your capacity or we're not going to see change, right? And particularly with women, younger women in particular, that's a conversation we got to sit down and really seriously have. Because there are, like you're talking about, all those social issues that sort of come up when I give even a younger person a 20-pound or a 30-pound or a 40-pound kettlebell and say, hey, let's go for a carry. Let's pick this weight up. Let's do a deadlift. I'm getting off track somewhere.
No, you're getting it. You're saying all the right things because I think that it all ties together. And one thing that we don't always realize is that everything has this effect. And while we're all coming together now, you know, so much of our business, the three of us are trainers, coming in together, we're learning more and more about Eastern and Western medicine coming together, right? And so the things that we do outside of the gym are just as important in that maintenance. So Russell, I am going to ask you to take us to begin. A woman walks in or a man who maybe hasn't been a big exerciser. What are some of the first things that you have them do? First steps to getting into a good, healthy weight training type lifestyle. Give us a few exercises. Talk to us about what you would do with somebody day one to get them going. You know, I mean, there is the evaluation. You're going to talk about that a little bit and everything, but I'm talking about, let's let these listeners and viewers know some exercises that they can do just right away.
Okay. Yeah. Like you said, the evaluation is a huge part of it because a lifelong exerciser compared to someone who hasn't, and this is day one and they're already over 40 and it's brand new to them. And I've had a couple people who come in like this and it's like, if you never went to Disney World and your first time there, you're like, I have no idea what direction to go. There's several machines and people look like they know what they're doing. I have no idea. And so a lot of it is getting that comfortability. So we do the evaluation to kind of say, what type of movement patterns should we red light? What type of movement patterns should we green light? And then let's go on the green light ones. And then let's work kind of more of an educational corrective exercise around those red light patterns. So what I typically encourage people to do, there's the cardiovascular aspect, there's the strength aspect, there's a mobility aspect. And I kind of try to stick within those three categories and say, one of these three you're going to like more than the other. We'll find out what you enjoy doing and we'll hit on that, but we still need to pay attention to these ones that might not be as enjoyable. So making sure their tissue density is well with like some type of foam rolling, some type of mobility work, teaching them how to properly prepare to exercise is kind of first 2 weeks of working with someone like that of here are variations to come in and warm up. Here's a routine to get used to. This is how to get your body ready to move. Especially if you're a desk jockey who's been at this office desk job and 2 hours of commuting to and from work, let's get your posture and everything a little bit more corrected before you just jump on the bench press and sit on a bike for another 20 minutes and just make it worse. So kind of our corrective stuff, the more mindful stuff at the beginning. And then as we get used to that, then it's getting into maybe just the machines. I like to teach a lot of people how to use the strength training machines because they're really easy to use and have a lot of great initial benefit. They're stable, they're predictable, and there's a load variance that you can control and manage in that. Starting off, if we want some more specifics, usually 8 to 12 repetitions, 2 to 3 sets of 8 to 12 repetitions. And I usually encourage people to pick anywhere between 6 to 8 movement patterns or 6 to 8 machines that hit on different muscle parts. We're usually trying to accommodate and try to hit on opposing muscle groups. So if there's a chest press machine, do that, but also do the seated row, right? I'm going to push and use muscles in front of my body, and I want to pull and use the muscles behind my body. And so that way there's a balance between what we are doing and then upper body, lower body, and core, and hitting on all those aspects. And then I tell them to take alternate days, right? It's going to take a little bit of time for the body to adapt. Like Ken said, we want to stress the body. Without stress, there won't be growth. There won't be adaptation. So we want to stress the body, but you got to be able to sit on the toilet the next day. So don't overdo it to the point where you can't walk around or do the basic things the next day. So every other day, hitting that full body. I usually encourage people to end with some type of cardiovascular work, whether it just be light walking, bicycling, 10 to 20 minutes of it at the beginning to start to hit on that and not overdo it. And then it's just week to week, challenging yourself in something more weight, more challenging movements. The patterns that we typically like to follow is a squat pattern, a hinge pattern, and a hinge pattern is like a hip lift, a glute lift, a deadlift pattern, both double leg, single leg. I think everyone's more familiar with the squat patterns. Upper body push, which again, chest press or a dumbbell bench press, an upper body pull, pull-ups, rows, cable machine, dumbbell rows, whatever it may be, and then hitting some type of core pattern, and a lunge pattern. And if we can kind of balance all of those out, it doesn't mean you have to do them every day. Everyone's schedule is very different. Some people have 20 minutes to work out. Some people are retired and they got all day at this point. And so just kind of getting them into a routine that they can do and be consistent with. Because if they're not consistent, there won't be that growth and that adaptation.
I love that. That was great routine you just really took us through, because it's so important to hit all those different body parts. And when we hit as many like that, then you are getting this overall health. Now, one of the things that when I started in this field, and you know, I'm older than both of you, but there weren't very many women. There weren't very many women trainers, and certainly not very many women in the gym. So Ken, you work at a fitness center. When you see women come in, and we've always sort of been a little hesitant to go into the free weight room. And while Russell was taking us through a machine workout with some free weights involved and some dumbbells and that sort of thing, there's always sort of a free weight area where all the big plates are, where the bench press is, where all that stuff. And sometimes, because you see the guys walking around in there and the younger guys, women like myself don't necessarily want to walk over to there. What do you say to us about that area not being quite as intimidating as we might think that it is, and that that area is for all of us, and there are weights there and equipment there that we can use as well? Because I'm sure you've heard this before. What do you say to women?
Yeah, and I think that's actually a really important point. Because I think the entry point is very much what Russell said. Right? When you first walk into the gym, get comfortable with the environment. Go to those machines, do what the picture on the machine shows you, and get your routine down. And that, I think, is your entry point to create a level of comfort. Now, while you're there, while you're resting between sets, you're going to see the people on the dumbbells, on the cable machines, doing all the rest of the stuff. That's when you can, if you're comfortable, you can start trying to mimic some of what they're doing. A dumbbell bicep curl is not a difficult thing to pick up. Cable chop from a half kneel position, a little more difficult. And that's where you want to look for the fitness staff. That's literally why we're there. Ask us for our advice. We're happy to show you. That's literally why we have our jobs. It's what we want to do. Pretty much every gym I've ever worked in has a free assessment and a free training session as part of the membership. People get a little touchy and avoid that sometimes because they feel it's like a sales presentation, and it is on some level. But it's also your opportunity to get that trainer in front of you and ask questions. How do I take my workout to the next level? What are the things I need to be doing? What am I missing? That's usually what I recommend, is take advantage of that free stuff the gym's giving you. It is really useful, and we're happy to do it. We want to be doing it.
Russell, I'd like you to expand for just a second. I don't know if you guys ever saw, maybe it was Seinfeld or something, where I think it was Elaine was watching somebody else get personal trained and following every single exercise. But we don't really mind when people do that, when they look over and they see what we're doing with somebody, and then they kind of want to do it themselves and, you know, that sort of thing. So Russell, tell us a little bit about the personal training at Henry Mayo Fitness and Health and what's involved. How can somebody get involved in that?
Yeah, I think to kind of connect it to what Ken and that last topic is too, I think for women and even in the gym in general, there's a large aspect of community. And if you can get connected to that community or find a community, it is much easier to feel comfortable within that realm. One of the easy ways, like Ken said, to get started is in that personal training realm, whether it be a few sessions or just like that, an orientation of some sort. That can create a connection, that can create someone that you're now comfortable to go ask questions to. And so that's, like I said, we love doing this. If we could pay rent and do it for free, most of us probably would. Very much so. So the coaches at Henry Mayo Fitness and Health just love to just sit there and answer questions. A lot of our members go up and just ask them stuff all the time. And then if there is something more specific you need, a program that you need, that's where the personal training really comes in. So where that need meets, right? A couple of people that I have will just stop by my office all the time. They're like, I've been doing this pull-up routine. It's not working. How do I vary it up? I'll give them advice on how to vary it up. Like, that's going to be easy. That's fun for me. If they're not seeing results from several things they're doing, that's when the personal training comes in. Or if they just are not sure where to begin, we'll do six sessions with someone, and it's just more of an educational six sessions. And kind of like what I just answered my last, here's how you warm up. Here's how you do the strength training. What machines are you afraid of? What exercises have you seen that you just want to do but have no idea how to do? We have a whole like powerlifting club now, and there's women who are just like, I just want to lift heavy. I have no idea how to pick up a barbell, and I'm afraid to do it. And so it's a whole group. They're just like, I just want to like learn how to do this stuff. And a lot of them join because there's the community of doing it. So the group exercise programs, the small group training programs, there's so many variations within clubs of how to get involved and get that coaching. If it's not one-on-one, it can be small group. If it's not small group, it can be in a large group. And I just encourage people to get involved somehow into the community aspect of it and find a connection in the gym.
Beautifully said. I love that you said that, and it is true. And people think that sometimes that they're going to have to sign up for life if they want a few personal training sessions, but you can just have a few to learn if that's what you want. If you need the ongoing motivation, which we like our clients that we've had a long time to want that ongoing motivation, that's why they're still with us. That's a good thing, but they don't have to. So Ken, I'd love to give you the last word. Best advice on maintaining muscle after 40, men and women, and practical changes that we can start today to make a big difference.
I mean, the advice is really simple. You got to show up to the gym. That's it. What you do after that, we can fine tune what the trainers are for. That's what classes are for, all that. But the first thing is you got to make it to the gym. So all the other stuff you're talking about, right? Managing your sleep. You feel like you have enough energy when it comes time to go to the gym that you're not going to just be like, tomorrow. Managing your nutrition so that you feel like you have the energy when it comes time to work out to put some energy into it. So all that lifestyle stuff that happens outside gets you to the front door. And if you do that part, you're going to do something while you're there. And that's the most important part. All the details, and you can get deep into the weeds on specifics of what to do, how to do it, why to do it, all that stuff. But most of that doesn't really matter. You got to figure out how to plan the 2 to 3 days a week. Usually an hour of timer is good. Once you show up, walk to the front door, that's the hardest part right there.
I agree. Taking that first step and then not being afraid to come to you both and ask for that help. So thank you both for joining us, really giving us such good information. It was a good, lively discussion. So thank you again. And you can learn more about fitness training at Henry Mayo Fitness and Health by calling 661-200-2348. You can also visit our website at henrymayo.com for more information. That concludes this episode of It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for joining us today.